Blog Talk Radio.
In the Holy Bible, Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. John chapter 16, verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full.
I am, and I'm not sure what that means. Who am I is a question, it seems. And I'm not sure if my answers are true. So I'm asking and I'm seeking and I'm knocking. 'Cause that's what God told me to do. I know how to ask, I do it all the time. I seek to have my way, and that's just fine. I knock on doors, seeking opportunities, looking for my way, my own way to please. I'm not sure if my answers are true.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight, we are bringing you Chapter 15 of The Woolly Worm. It's being read, and comments are added by the author, Sister Bobby Lively. We have been informed that tonight's chapter is a little long and may possibly be divided up into two parts. We started this show with one of her original songs, and all of these shows can be listened to and or downloaded to any smart device for free. If there is time at the end of the show, we will open up the mics for comments or questions. All you have to do is push the number 1 on your phone, and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number when I place you on the air. And now let's talk to Mr. Lively, Rapping Greeny. How are you?
Well,
tonight?
Hello. I'm wonderful. Can you hear me well? I've got my phone on a different angle, and I was hoping it would even be better. Is it okay?
Oh, I can hear you fine.
Okay, that's good. Now I want to try to read very quickly. There's 18 pages to this particular chapter, and all the way through it, Sister Starla, I was so grateful. I felt such gratitude for you and Wild Bill, which is my wonderful son, and you are my daughter-in-law, and then my daughter that without her encouragement and directing me, I probably would never have completed it. And other people in the church have been so encouraging for me to do an audio. And I give God number 1. I give him all glory for all things. And then everybody else can pick up any of the rest of it, because I have just been so blessed by everybody's love and affection. And as I read this particular chapter, I've gone over it several times, and I went into a lot of hindsight, a lot of thoughts, and that's the title is Hindsight versus Foresight. And as I was thinking and going through it, I could not help but be so grateful for the love of God and for his taking the things, the mistakes, the horrors, the things that come into our life, and as something beautiful, something good, all of our confusion. He understood. All we had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But God, he takes all the ashes and he makes it beautiful. God does that. He promises that. We cannot lose if we keep our heart, our mind, as the Lord said, love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And did y'all have anything, Sister Starla, that you wanted to say before I delve in here?
No, except the fact we're really looking forward to what you have for us tonight.
Thank you very much. And it is a timeline that goes, I'm 82 years old, so it's a timeline. It's a long timeline, and I touch on things in my life and our family that were sort of pretty negative. God brought me through them beautifully, but at the same time, I don't want people to think too bad of me because God redeemed it. But anyway, here we go. Hindsight versus foresight. Now, hindsight, we know what that is. We look back and, you know, we feel and we think and we remember and we work all that happening into a tapestry of our life. And then foresight, you know, to have the foresight, you know, we don't want to pull out in traffic, don't want to be on our phone and all of this kind of thing. But insight is the word that was so, I guess, so vivid to me today. Because we have hindsight, foresight, but insight is what God gives us. And he calls it wisdom, that no matter what we go through, and we know the story about the wise man builds his house on the rock. Now, we know the rock is Jesus. So if we're wise, then all the broken pieces of the past and all of the good things of the past, those that we learn, those that we look forward to, are all built on the rock, built on Jesus. And for it to be a building, I believe it's you and me. I believe we are that we invite God to live within us, and he lives in us and makes things work that would never work without him. When I say work, I mean they will be what God intended them to be. So in the beginning, it says, hindsight has its benefits. If you want to have fun, and this was really fun for me, go to Wikipedia and look up the word hindsight. You will have a very interesting Bible study. One of the most irritating things, I guess, that we can face is, you know, we do something wrong, and somebody says, well, I knew all along you were going to, you know, the way you were going, you know, that was going to happen. And, well, I told you so. And, you know, we sort of have a feeling that we do not appreciate that. Now, it is in psychology when we taught unsolicited advice. It doesn't say it's sometimes not appreciated. It said it is never appreciated. You know, that's unsolicited anything. You know, just hold it. You know, that's not, you don't know, just like one of the illustrations we have. If I touch you on your arm and I say, good morning, that's great. But if you had a really bad sunburn or maybe you'd had surgery on that arm and I walk up, hey, how you doing? It's going to hurt and it could be really damaging. So we don't know really ever what another person experienced and what they're feeling. So we want to be led by the Lord. It was a cute story. It was an actual story a preacher told about a man that was watching a boxing match, and the one man was really getting the best of the other. And so this little guy, who certainly wasn't an athlete, he jumps up and he starts saying, hit him, knock him, give him this, whatever, undercut, however they do when they hit each other. And, you know, well, you know, he would be doing that if he could. I mean, that, you don't have to tell somebody else something like that. And what he probably should have done was just sort of pray for him, I guess. But I want to share something. I may have had it in the book somewhere. But my mom loved to go to wrestling matches. And there was a very elaborate one in Little Rock in this large auditorium. And she would take me. And I would be seated, not in the big crowd, but over in this area. And I was very safe. And there was one wrestler. He was called Farmer Jones, and he wore coveralls. And, oh, I just thought he was the bomb. I mean, that was top of the line. And so this one time, whoever was wrestling with him picked him up, like, to throw him. And when he did, everybody in that building had to hear this little girl, put him down. I'll never forget that. Everybody's eyes turning around and looking at me, but I don't really know if they put him down or not, but I sure did my part of screaming. And but I mean, it really didn't make any difference. And did you know that's another illustration? We can have a screaming match with someone and do all kinds of demonstrations of trying to change something around. But really, it doesn't work. It really does not work. Now, prayer works. There's a scripture in Proverbs. I looked it up a while ago. It's in the 21st chapter, the second verse. Now, this is really interesting. Every way of a man, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. Now, we do know that sometimes we don't think we're right. You know, sometimes I think I'm wrong more than probably maybe I am. But that's not what God is saying. That basically, no matter what we do, if we make a mistake, there's only one way to really fix it. And if we don't do that, then we're just allowing it to be a part of our life. Because the Lord will ponder it. That means he weighs these things out. And it is really beautiful that it's very deep as we think about the love of God, the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice he made for us. And it's very, very beautiful. Romans 13 and 10. And, well, actually, three verses. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That is so rich. And I mean, you're talking about hindsight and foresight. If you're going to get along with people, then here for Romans, it's very plain. And the 11th verse says, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Right this very moment, right this very moment, we must awake out of all of the sluggishness and the when he's talking about sleep, to me, when you're asleep, you're asleep. We need to wake up. When you're awake, you're a part of the work of God. You're in prayer with God. You're being led by his Spirit. You're studying his word. This is what God is saying. And then he says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now, again, I always, all the way through this lesson, I could see me, the old robe, and throw it away and put on the new robe. The old robe is dirty, tattered, torn. The new robe is spotless. It's never been worn. So he's saying, cast off all the works. Ooh, I feel the Spirit of God on that one. And put on the armor of light. And he brings that in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, so plain that I would try to teach it every time I teach anywhere, on the whole armor of God. And then he says the next one, let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And look up these words, chambering and wantonness. In the 23rd Psalm where he says, the little sheep I shall not want. I mean, you know, if we're not careful, every moment of our life, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. That's not quite what it means, but it makes me think of that. Okay, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. In the narrow way that leads to him and the broad way that leads to destruction, we would have insight that would lead to foresight, where we're going and how we're going to get there and what is expected. And it can't be done until that wisdom, that self-awareness comes by the Spirit of God. In this particular part of the book, it mentioned about counterfeit and real. You know, God wants us to be real. There's many scriptures. And that's what he means. Don't be a phony. Don't be a counterfeit. And I heard an illustration about where they took to know whether a bill was counterfeit or not. They don't examine all of the bills that are not, are aware of the one that is real, that's not counterfeit. So that the split second that a counterfeit shows up, it's very aware. You know it. And says here, this principle applies when we're seeking truth. If we get so hung up on all the counterfeits, oh, this preacher and that preacher, well, those people and that, well, that apologist, no, don't do that. That's just a waste of time. It just confuses the issue. Go to Jesus. Go to his word. Let his Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, he said it came to comfort us, to lead us, to guide us. And we got it. So I thought that was very interesting. The Lord told Simon in Luke 22:31, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And this is very interesting because we go through troublesome times. We hurt. It hurts. But notice Satan, he wasn't going to do anything till the Lord allowed it. He knew he's not going to ever, just like in the example prayer, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. I mean, God is with us, never allowing anything to overcome us. There'll be too much for us to with him to overcome. And I was talking about self-deception. That also comes under being real. Okay. What is self? I or you can look at something and say, well, that's probably really not that bad. Well, you know, I mean, everybody's doing it. And Well, I mean, you know, do you just talk yourself out of truth? You, it's like quicksand. You begin to slip and slide, and that's called a Broadway that leads to destruction. So we do not want to do that. So the Bible said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful. He is just. He will forgive us our sins. Not only that, he forgives us and then he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Number one, we're washed in the blood when we repent and it's gone. But more than that, the desires, the lust, the things that Satan uses, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, nope. God is going to cleanse us from those things and strengthen us. And so we want to know that and trust in that. 1 Corinthians 11:32, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Okay, I would rather, and wouldn't you, that when, all right, we're looking in hindsight, here we are, and we're facing something. Do I want to say, well, you know, everybody's doing it. You know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, just rightly divide it, but divide it so that I get to do whatever I want to do. I couldn't shoot my way out of heaven, one lady told me. Really? No, we can be condemned with the world, obviously. We can, unless we are willing to be chastened, changed by the Lord and going forward with him. And that means, that's what it means, is correction. If we really want to be different, we want to walk with the Lord, then we must be willing to allow him to change us. I love all the songs that we sing about great change. Now, C.S. Lewis once wrote an article that was really good, and I'll top it off. But he said that if you go out to the ocean, and I have, it's absolutely beautiful. It's just the feeling you have, the different ways that the waves and everything, it's just beautiful. And you can really enjoy that. But if I got ready to go on the ocean and cross the ocean, I'd need a map and I'd need a navigator. If I'm going to step out and live this life, I look back and I see all of the things I did and how many people I hurt and all of that and how God cleansed it up. But I'm going forward now. And I want him to be the one that guides and leads and makes the decisions. And he is always wanting to do that. 1 Corinthians 14:33, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. So if you're out witnessing and they're not listening, then they're not listening to the Lord. But we know the spirit of truth, and we know the spirit of error. That's 1 John 4:6. That is so good. We know that. We have confidence in that. And that is a very secure thing. It was an amusing story, and I don't know that it fits all that well, but I love it. There was a woman driving home from a business trip, and it was in northern Arizona, and there was an elderly Navajo woman that was walking, and she was on the side of the road. So it was a long and quiet trip, so she stopped the car and asked the Navajo lady if she would like a ride. So with a word or two of thanks, she got in the car. After resuming the journey and a bit of small talk, the Navajo woman noticed a brown bag on the seat next to Sally. "What's in the bag?" asked the woman. Sally looked down at the brown bag and said, "Oh, it's a bottle of wine. I got it for my husband." The Navajo woman was silent for a moment and then, speaking with the quiet wisdom of an elder, said, "Good trade." I hope everybody caught that, because for some reason that was very, very funny to me. For one thing, my mother would have loved this story. She was a person, she could barter. If somebody wanted a quarter for something, she could give them a nickel, and they, you know, at flea markets and whatever, and they'd think they were really getting something for their money. And she was just wonderful at it. When growing up, she would get a large house and then rent out really most of it. I can remember many times we lived in the basement in one area of it, and she'd rent out the rest of it, and then she'd pay off the house. She said, let it pay for itself. She was just amazing. And so one family lived with us one summer. They were from, I don't remember exactly where they were actually from, but they were going to a school in St. Louis, Missouri. And it was some other place that they'd come through and was needing a place to stay. So my mother rented out an apartment to them. And that was the year that there had been a tremendous riot at the school I attended. One girl was mutilated. The other one was killed. It was one of the, it was just horrible. And so I had fared. Back in those days, they had gangs. Well, I guess they still do. But there were gangs. Yeah, if you lived on a certain street, like 3rd Street, there was a 3rd Street gang and whatever. And then they would meet in certain areas, vacant houses. And the Lord spared, I went one time, but the Lord spared me, got me out of there. But they don't like to be rejected either. And so I was hated. And so it was really a good time for me to leave. So I went to St. Louis that year. My mother arranged for me to do dishes and clean and do all kinds of work my way through. And I wouldn't take, I know it was God for many, many reasons. One was I had at least 2 teachers that were absolutely dedicated, anointed, that taught the word of God. And I was just, I absorbed it. It was the Spirit of God that was just teaching me. But I still have some pretty rough habits and whatever. And the dorm lady, the one that was over the dormitory that I was in, didn't care for me. And I don't blame her. But anyway, at that particular time, she didn't like the way I walked, the way I talked, the way I sat, the way she didn't like anything about me. And she delighted in rebuking me in front of people because I think she felt like I was an object lesson to them. Don't look like her. Don't act like her. So I thought it would be sort of fun. I found this wooden advertisement statue-like thing that was advertising something, and the man at the store gave it to me, and I had some other young people that helped me, and we took it into her room. Her little apartment while she was over at the administration building, and we put it in there. Now the lights were in the middle of the room, so you had to walk to the middle of the room and turn the light on, so like hanging down from the ceiling, just a little way back. So I put the wooden man, picked the thing, I don't know what I want to call it, a statue, but it wasn't, but anyway, I put it right there so that when she turned the light on, she would be face to face with this gentleman. So to my room, and some of the others did, and we waited till she came to her room. The screams that we heard, I was so happy. I mean, I know it'll please you for me to tell you the next few words. I was expelled, and I was no longer allowed to be there. And I can't imagine why, can you? No, that's hindsight, but I wouldn't do that again, maybe. But anyway, I felt really good about it because I felt like I was sort of paying her back for all of the humiliation. Now, I'm telling that because it's a grand illustration of what happens between hindsight, foresight, if we don't get insight, if we don't get wisdom from the things that happen, if we don't go to God. Then we're going to react in the future with bitterness. We must go to that place where we go to the throne room of God and let him take all of the hurt and the pain and replace it with his love, the fruit of the Spirit of God, and it's ours. The Lord is waiting right this moment for us to bring all the broken pieces to him. So that was a life-size poster. I just turned the page instead of a statue. But it was really, really a lot of fun. I was going to tell you something else she said, but in my wonderful, loving heart, I will go on to the next point. Okay. Now, remember, the Bible tells us that we're going to reap what we sow. So, you know, I did. I was expelled. And what I was going to face was horrible. I went back to Detroit. I met some new friends, and I attended a church that was absolutely enormous. They had two gymnasiums, I believe. I know they had one full gymnasium. I think it was one for the girls, one for the young men. They had a movie theater, just like if you went to a big theater and to see a movie. They had all kinds of areas. It was just huge. And this is a lesson that I learned that has helped me as an adult in working with children, working in different situations. You can have young people in church that their parents are really consecrated. You can have their parents and the others that work with them and their teachers are really wise. That does not make child right. It will not. Some of the most severe persecution I could have ever received was in that particular setting. And guess who had to leave? No one took up for me. Let me give you an example. I had gone to one of the movies that they were showing for all of the my age group. It seemed like some of them were older. And so one little girl or young woman wanted to make fun of how I smelled. She went on and on and on that I didn't smell good. And they were all laughing. You think, well, that's not a big deal. It's a really big deal. When you're made fun of and you're bullied, and we see so much of that hour here in public school too, excuse me. So one of the things we need to pray about, and we need to make sure that we are not a part of, and we are very aware of this horror where one child or several children can do that. And maybe they had it at home. Maybe their hindsight is some experience they had at home and they're going to replay it. So it my whole point is God holds us responsible that when we're working in the kingdom of God, in our families, wherever, we are to be keep the light of God's word in our heart shining through, be responsible in every situation. We will be held accountable in these situations. There's a scripture in from one of the other pages. I want to read this to you. It's we must pray that Christ would dwell in us. You know, we receive the Holy Ghost. We talk a lot about speaking in tongues, and for sure we speak in tongues, but that's the manifestation. But the Spirit of God, Paul went on to say, if you don't have love, you can do all these other things. But love, it doesn't work any ill to anyone. We are rooted and grounded in love. And then we can comprehend all of the other things that come, we used to sing a song, it's so wide you can't get around it, so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it. You got to go in at the door. That's talking about life. Talking about a lot of things, but we face life, and there's going to be problems so wide, so high, so low. It's all around us, but we've got the door, and the door is Jesus, just like I love the words to the song that Wild Bill played at the very beginning. We have the door, and we can go to him, and he is the creator of the whole world. He can intervene And he can even turn that situation into an opportunity. And, oh, I love that is wisdom. That's insight. I'm not going to take sides. I'm going to love. And then God works with us. To know the love of Christ, it passes knowledge. It's beyond knowledge. You can do every course in the world, but love, the love of Christ, and we will be filled all the fullness of our God. Okay. I will go on back to my book. If you've ever, or if you're reading the book or listening, if you have been hurt and you have a wound coming from a Christian, maybe in a church, you know, this can happen. Maybe it's an authority figure in your life. I want you to take a lesson from the little woolly worm. Grow past that experience. Grow so much in God that you just shed it off. That's what he does. You know, in stars, up to six, he's got that outer skin. And it's got to go. It's rid of it. And he goes forward. And he grows. And one of these days, he's going to fly. And we don't know exactly when we're going to be in that on the other side. But while we're here, in him, we can live and move and have our being. So be what God designed you to be. And I will be that. And be that so that love can flow through us. Remember the 10, wise, five foolish. Jesus said he didn't even know the foolish. So we want to be full and our lamps full to overflowing. We want to be what God fellowships with and flows through, because it's not us, it's him. So we want to look diligently, lest we would fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up and many be defiled. That's in Hebrews 12 and 15. I share some of these experiences, and I'm a little bit, you know, a lot of feelings came back with them as I did. I was very, very, very unhappy when I was our early marriage. I don't think that Jim was very happy either, and we had a neighbor that she and I did not get along, and so she and I had a fight, and I'm talking about a knockdown, drag-out fight in our front yard. And her husband got into it, and then my husband got into it. Jim got into it. And fortunately, we had a neighbor that was a really, really good friend. He was a state trooper. Then he came over, and he helped us calm down, get separated. And then one thing for sure, none of us wanted to go to jail. And so we backed off, and everything got all right. And then Jim and I had to go to the hospital, to the doctor. We were really, really, it was really bad. And so we were telling the doctor about it and sharing with him what happened. And he listened, and he was a really, really good doctor, must have been a very, very good Christian. And he took us aside, and he said, you know, he said, you're not in a beer parlor. You're not out on the street. You're a mom and a dad. You need to change your ways, he said. And he looked at us and he said, you know what? I'll give you one word. Think. And I didn't really understand, so I don't think I was all that good at thinking at that moment. But in the next few weeks, Jim and I began to think. It was really wonderful, because when you think, you get the mind of Christ. If you think according to truth and light and love. And it was just beautiful how everything began to change. And with the children were already, they were wonderful. It was just the relationship that was in the home that they had to deal with. But God brought peace, love, and joy. That's one looking back at the hindsight of all that, I realized that I had I wasn't really a drug person or an alcoholic, but I did have low hypoglycemia, and I did take I was what would be considered a prescription addict, and so that caused a lot of complications in my life. But God brought me through that, healed me, and it was just wonderful. My health was totally restored, and then we were blessed to go and live on a farm. That was so beautiful. 40 acres surrounded by the National Forest. Wow. And my husband, well, really, I was pretty good at milking cows, if you can believe that. But he could build fences. He could do things that, and he loved it. It was God's way of putting us with the children exactly where we needed to be. I learned to sew. I learned to do things that I'd never done before. And it was such a privilege to actually go out, milk a cow, bring the milk in, make butter, and all of those things. God uses creation and nature to teach us so many beautiful things. And I really enjoyed every moment. While Bill, he wasn't afraid of anything. I mean, he was always into something, and this was just a delight in everything that he did. And we always had an anointed devotion in the mornings, especially if they were going to school. And so one morning, I wanted to teach the healing power of God. So while Bill, Ron, Joy, and myself, we're reading the scriptures and praying. Now, my daughter had an allergy like I cannot describe to you. If she drank milk, her face would be so distorted, her tongue, her lips, the swelling. It was serious. It was really serious. Now, she did not ever have anything to do with milk. And so we finished our devotion, and she said, "I'd like some milk." And so instead of me being kind, I was really hateful to her. "You know better than that. Don't you ever do. You know." Oh, I just was right in her face. "I believe you would be so sick." And she looked at me and she said, "Well, I believe I'm healed because you just read the scriptures." Now, she's not even a teenager. And so, I mean, what could I say? So I gave her the milk. She did not have an allergic reaction and never did and never has since then. So that was just so many beautiful memories, even though they're not all perfect. There were some that were. And there's a scripture in Romans 5:20. It says, "The law entered." Okay, all of these rules, statutes, precepts, commandments that are in the Word of God. But you know why? It shows us the offenses that we're doing. It points them out. But it says, "Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound." So it teaches us the rules, the regulations, and then it gives us the power and the love to be able to walk that straight gate and narrow way. I want to be one of those that find it, for sure, don't you? So we were going the right way. It was absolutely, probably the greatest memories of my life were those that we enjoyed there at the farm. Not very many years until we would move. We'd move to Beebe, Arkansas. There we were all going to be, I wanted my children so badly to be in a Christian school, a Christian environment. I had a situation where I had looked at the books that my children had, and they had profanity in them, the ones that were not in the Christian school. And so in the Christian school, they were taught everything that I would ever want them to know about God and about His Word. And then I was privileged because I'd had a degree in early childhood training and had gone to a Christian school. This is where God redeemed the situation in St. Louis. I was one of the teachers, and I was working with the children, some of them, that it was an open classroom. they were handicapped, one of the sweetest experiences of my life. So God says all things, and I love it. I cannot teach anything without bringing in Romans 8:28. They will work together for our good. They will, if we're called according to his purpose. And we were. It was another few years that we would be there, and it was delightful. So many things. You know, early on, when I first started praying and wanting to be yielded to God, right after we got in church, I may have shared this before, but I was praying, and I was upset at my husband, Jim, and I thought the least God could do was chasten him, and I didn't mean change. I wanted him to to really work him over for something I didn't agree with. And I was really pouring my heart out to God. I thought, well, that. And so the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you need to apologize to him. I thought, surely I was misunderstanding what I was feeling from the Lord. And about that time, my husband, Jim, knocks on the door. He's home from work. And I'm struggling with what I know that I've got to do. So when I go to the door and I let him in, I turn to him and I think I told him the Lord told me to do it, but I don't remember. But I said, Jim, I need to apologize to you for the way I've acted and for all the things that I've done that's caused friction. And, you know, I poured it out. And the more I said it, the more I meant it. And the better it felt. It's like it was unloading something that I didn't even know, anger or resentment. And he looked at me, and we just held each other with the sweetest, warmest, loving embrace. And God did great things. So yielding to God, doing it his way, works. Hindsight, foresight, and insight. God gives us wisdom and grace that we can abound in all of the things that he has called us to do. Now, there was another time that I dealt with suicide. And since I do counsel, I'm more or less retired as far as I did it for a while. But a lot of feeling that they're worthless, that everybody would just be so much better off without them. You know, just get out of the way. Well, I tried that, and in the emergency room where they were pumping my stomach, and they were not nice to me. This was way before church. I'm digressing back, but I look back at that hindsight. And the one thing that stands out to me more than anything is how loving Jim was during that time, how caring. He didn't do anything to make it worse. He was determined to be there as a support. And that too was a great thing for us. So God will take that. He gave us wisdom. Just like the doctor said, we begin to think, and it works if we think like God wants us to think. Let that mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. Wow. Yeah, we may suffer, but we can't lose, ever. So there were many other incidents that came in. One tragic thing happened. The phone rang. I went to the phone. It was Jim. He was coming home, and an elderly man had ran across the street, not at the corner, just ran across and ran right into Jim's car and was killed. That was such a tragedy for all of us, the memory of it, to be a part of that. But again, all of these combination of events were a wake-up call to us. And we were finding in every situation God was there. There's a scripture that says, and knowing the time that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. I don't know if I read that a while ago, but think of this. Now is our salvation nearer, right now. And if we're just being, yeah, I did read that a while ago. Wake up, all of those dark things, and lay hold upon truth and upon the love of God. And remember, think before we do things. And if we think the way God wants us to think. I can't say that too much because I recall week after week how God would bring those sobering thoughts to me, a higher level. And I was thinking, and Jim was thinking, and it works. There was, I guess, I don't recall the exact, we were in church, and we were, it was before we moved to the farm, and there was a drive-in movie, so both children, Jim and I, went to the movie. It was two movies, and one of them was like a horror movie, and the other one was like a cartoon, I think something like that. But in the horror movie, it was literally, I'm watching this, and it's, instead of like Jesus is born, it was the devil being born like that, the same setting. And it broke my heart. I couldn't, days, I was so depressed, and I cried to think that the world would even think about doing that, and to put something like that for children to see, and what kind of mind would say that the incarnation could be with the devil. And it was horrible. But during that time, during the oppression and the state of mind, again, insight came. Wisdom began to pour into my heart. Who was I going to serve? Was I going to serve God? Was I really? Then I needed to get very, very focused. And I need to make my plans accordingly. And I began to go to church. One thrilling time, I went to a service. I didn't even know that Wild Bill had a couple of his buddies up, and they were singing a special. They were singing, The Wise Man Built His House on the Rock. I don't remember, but it was really good. And the children were enjoying the classes, and everything was just, it was wonderful. It was exactly what we needed. And so people should be in a church and have classes for the age group that their child is, but watch over it. Make sure you're working with it. And I just got a text, I shall not be moved. That was the song. Yes, it was so wonderful. And but there will be stages of every part of our life, sicknesses. I know during part of the time that I leaving the prescription drugs, I had night terrors. There was a lot of different things. And I studied a lot about it, but I threw all the books away because it seemed like it exalted the enemy more than it did the Lord. But the Bible says that God is a spirit. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. Satan is a spirit. Remember, he tempted the Lord. He went into the garden, so he's real. But God is the winner. So, yeah, he's real, hindsight, uh-huh. Yeah, but we know that we can make our focus 100% with the Lord, and he's already defeated the enemy. But we do have to make up our mind, have a made-up mind, if we're going to live for God, and God will give us that. Remember the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation. What's a helmet do? It covers your brain, your head, your eyes, your neck, everything, and your mind. We can have that mind in us that was in the Lord. Okay, now emotion, when you got hindsight, all of a sudden you think of something, you have emotion. And maybe it's like today, I started crying thinking about some of those things, but it led into victory. It led into me singing a song to the Lord, praising him for bringing us through every one of those situations. So teach your children to sing. Teach them the word of God. On your job, have a scripture. Have something you can share. And God will give you the opportunity, I guarantee you. How many 82-year-old women could be out sharing their rap with people that are so thrilled to be able to hear it? as they turn it on. So I know during those struggling in the spiritual, I have used that, God has used that with me to counsel those coming out of recovery. We went to the jails. There's some of them that one young beautiful lady, she said, I never, ever, ever felt love until now. All of her life, she never felt love. But as we sang Amazing Grace, as we quoted the Word of God, she felt love. I mean, she not only felt love, she met love. And he is, for God so loved. And we quoted that scripture. It was just so beautiful. So emotion is wonderful. It's awesome. I love it. But it can't be the thing that makes us decide which way to go. Is the emotion to look at the great ocean? You know, whoa, that's beautiful. But you got to have a navigator. You've got to know when you step out into this world that you've got God, you've got the Spirit of God working with you and the Word of God. Every part of it. And I think this is interesting. You can read something, maybe 30 years, and then all of a sudden you read it and you get something deeper and wider. Like I said a while ago, it's so wide, so high, so low, so, but we have the door. I think that is so wonderful. So just make up your mind. You're going to live for God, and then God will be there all the way, giving you victory in Jesus. We sang a song, My Foot's on the Rock and My Mind's Made Up. So I walk through the lonely valley and I drink from the bitter cup. When the devil tries to tempt me and show me an easier way, stand right square on my feet. I lift my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye and I say, even sing it or say it, I say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I love it. And there's so many choruses like that. Just get them on your heart and sing them, and you will reap the benefit from it all the way around. We work together on the farm, and that's a suggestion I have, because so many times I notice with the way things are now, the woman works a job, the man works a job, the children stay here and they stay there, but do things together. Rearrange it. You know, get wisdom. Get insight. So when you go forward, make your plan so that you have family time. And it's well worth it. There's things that you'll enjoy and you'll remember all of your life. And it has such a tremendous effect on your children. Some more minutes. So I'm going to read this. As I studied the Word of God, it still is. But it's like a light in darkness. It's like a strength. When you know, like you're stumbling and you reach out, get somebody by the hand, or, you know, they're helping you. I have people help me so many times now that I'm older. And the Word of God is like that. Just, it makes you balanced. And so there was the scripture. It's in Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It's one of my very favorite. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's his mercy that follows us, watches over us, protects us, all around us. We will not be consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. Listen to this. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Unto him we're saying that. Great, great is his mercy, his compassion, his faithfulness all the time. So you have victory and you feel it and you share it. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, if you want to be thinking about what you ought to be talking about, thinking about, working on, is it true? Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. You don't have to tell the last news bulletin. I'm sorry. Okay. If there be any virtue, Now listen, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The last time, this is the scriptures, Philippians 4:8, I heard the words of the Lord speak to me. I was so down on myself. I was down on myself. I was down on a few other people too. Something had come up in my life. But then God's word, that's his word. You know, I didn't have something true. Yeah. God's love is true. God brought me out of some horrible situations. I went off a interstate one time down three rows of layers of and floated down. That's true. I remember that. And honest, wow. And just, you know, as you begin to do that, don't just let it, because I'm saying it, say it to yourself. Do it, and you will begin to weep and wail and worship, because God will be there when we do it and we cooperate with him. Okay. Now, you don't want to take on the dirty rags. God's already given you a brand new. He's fixed you up, the clean robe. So Isaiah 61:3, to appoint, now this is an appointment we have with God. If we're mourning, we're in Zion, we're in the church. If we're weeping, we're mourning. This is God's appointment to give us beauty for the ashes of our life. He will give us the oil of joy for all of the mourning that we do, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Why? So Wild Bill's song could be sung, that we might be called trees of righteousness. We are the planting of the Lord. Why? Because he can be glorified when we are obedient and work out those things. I wanted to share one other thing, if I had mentioned it before. My husband was working, stringing the fence, got his hand caught in a come along. He came in the house, and I heard him say, Bobby, you know, I could tell it was, I didn't know what, but I turned, and I said, what? And he showed me his hand, and he said, pray. And I did. And God instantly healed him. Instantly. God was revealing himself so that really 40 years later, he was really going to reveal himself. And one of the greatest experiences, so I spoke with my husband, and the glory of God was so beautiful as he left this world. My children, they were healed, they were delivered, they were saved. All of these things began to disappear. We enjoyed our times together. It was so wonderful, all of it. And then we would go, we were being called to do other things, deeper things in this other church. And it turned into be even more awesome than I would have ever thought. 1 Corinthians 3:7, it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's the greatest focus. When we look ahead, we can look back and we can see today, but God is going to bring the increase. He will give the increase. When we plant the seed in our own heart, in the hearts of our family, oh, how I've seen them come in, the beauty, the beauty of it. We must plant the seed in our devotions, in our studies. Just do it. And this is my ending. It's one of the most beautiful songs that ever was. When God Unfolds the Rose by Frank O'Brien. He always gets it right. When the petals are in place. Oh, what a beautiful sight. God knows when to hold on and the perfect time to let go. So let God have his way. And let God fold the rose. Now what I'm talking about, if you don't know, is give it to Jesus. Give it to him. And if it was hindsight, foresight, or insight, it will be beautiful. Because God, that's what he does. He makes all things beautiful. And I've enjoyed this very, very much today. That was chapter 15. Chapter 16 will be another rung on the ladder. And now I will turn this back over to Sister Starla.
Wow, that was really something. I mean, it just shows how big God is. I mean, the things that you brought, he brought you from, and the last thing that you said, that God healed him instantly. I mean, we have a big God.
Amen. I feel his presence so strongly right now. So beautiful. This has been such a privilege, and I thank you again. I'm thankful for my wonderful church and support given me in my latter years. And I am so blessed. So happy and so blessed. There's victory in Jesus for sure. Now, while Bill texts me, so I think he can get on, can he?
Oh, yes, he is here. Wow, Bill.
Well, hello. Yeah, I just barely got on. I've been sitting here waiting, and where our terminal is kind of a dead spot, and they got me out kind of late tonight. Matter of fact, I'm just getting out of here. But it's very interesting. I know one of the hardest things in the world to do for me is to apologize. And the other thing is to go back through and look at all the things that happened in my life that I played a part in that, you know, were not my highlights that you really want to share with everybody. So I can really appreciate what you were going through as you were sharing this. That my perspective of these things is that I was growing up through a lot of these things and was, you know, at home. And so I can look back at different parts of this, and it speaks in ways probably different to me than it does to you, just from the viewpoint of being a child. You know, the wonder of things, the excitement of things. We came from a family that anger and a temper was something that it was almost like a birthright in our family. You know, we just all seemed to have this thing, and I have been able to use that through most of my life to help me overcome obstacles. I don't give up. If I got something that's too hard, if I'm hurting too bad, or I don't see a way to get something done, I've always been able to tie into that to be able to overcome things. The other part of that is that when it's just buried that small of amount below the surface, as I share this at church sometimes, it still didn't take me very long to go from, well, I tell people I can go from being calm, nice Bill to being redneck stupid in about 0.3 seconds, and then I'm having to apologize for something that I've said or done. And it's a very interesting concept when you look at all these things. And, you know, it's easy to see Rapping Granny and Blog Talk Mom and Lyrical Lively and Sister Bobby Lively and to see the things of where she is now. But to look at the process of how she got there, and to, for me, the part that really stands out was how genuine it all was. It wasn't a superficial sort of thing like you see with a lot of people with their relationship with God. Many times I've put my relationship on God kind of like on autopilot, and it becomes a superficial thing more than it is the real relationship thing that it's meant to be. And knowing the difference between the two is important, but being aware at all times of how you're living your relationship with God is so key, because it doesn't matter how long you've been living for God and how long you've been doing things right. We all have this sin nature that is buried underneath there that was planted from the Garden of Eden, that when man sinned, that we can all go from being everything just great and all of a sudden going like what I call redneck stupid in 0.3 seconds. And you're like, how in the world did I get here? Not me. There's no way I could have done this. You know, I wouldn't say something like that to offend somebody, or, you know, I wouldn't cut somebody down that bad or something like that, or be that judgmental, or, you know, you just it shocks yourself sometimes when you do it. And the part that always amazes me about all this is that none of it shocks God. He knew before we were ever born. He knew before he framed the world who we were, what our strengths were, what our weaknesses were, what strengths he wanted to add to us, the things he wanted to multiply in our lives, and the things he wanted to subtract from our lives to complete us into being something bigger than what we could ever be on our own. But there again, this is one of those things that's easier to say than it is to submit to and do. And I was sharing with someone, we had a Dr. Klein's wife on here, which I guess she's a Dr. Klein too, before, because she is a certified counselor. And it seems like that it's so easy to look at situations when it's not your situation, and you just tell people, well, just trust God. You know, well, it's all going to be okay. Just trust God. And yet it's not something that's just really simple to do. And you want to trust God in a way that adds to positive, overcoming faith. But yet it's easy when you can look back like we were tonight and seeing where things started and then saw how it ends. But it's not that simple when you're going through it at the time. And, you know, I could have probably had more details. I could do like Paul Harvey and add the rest of the story to some of this, some of it based on just a viewpoint as a child to realize, like that incident in our front yard with the next door neighbor. I'm aware that that could have gotten so much worse than I think that even mom realizes. We had already been going out on the country. We were going on weekends. It belonged to my grandfather. I had a .22 automatic rifle. I had a .410 shotgun. I knew how to shoot them both, load them both. I knew where the guns were. I knew where the ammunition was. And I remember thinking, if I'd only been where I could have rescued my mom when that woman was being mean to her, I'd have shot her. And I thought, but I was in the bathtub. And all I knew was that our dog was going crazy wanting to go out there and rescue his mom. And so many things we can look at how bad it seemed like it was at the time. But yet, if we really look back at it and see where God intervened, where things could have been a whole lot worse. I've seen people sacrifice a lot for the kingdom. Time with family, finances, you know, personal time just to do work for the kingdom. And I know what it's like to get weary in well-doing, and you look back and you see things that's happening that you don't understand. Like, why me, Lord? Why am I having to go through this? But then it's like I got a friend that the Lord spoke to me about her the other day that, you know, she feels like that she overly sacrificed for her children and for other people's children. But God was telling me it's like this audible voice almost in my head that it could have been a lot worse, because there was times when her children were out hunting and there was meant to be a hunting accident, but God intervened. There was times when it seemed like just fever at night. But you didn't know that it could have been something unto death, but God intervened. And that's the part of faith and building faith with God, that you don't see it all right now, and you don't know it all. And even though we covered a lot of years in what was spoken here tonight, that trusting God with your whole heart, that is so essential. And then again, it's, I don't know, Block Time, Mom, how do you share with someone how to do that in the midst of the struggle when they feel like they're drowning and, you know, they're trying to figure out what to grab onto and what to let go? And it's one of those things that there's time constraints. It's not like something you can sit there and pray on for 3 or 4 months or something. You know, how do you speak to those people that are in that point right there to be able to overcome those things? Because I don't have the answer for that all the time.
Well, the only thing that I've ever found that works is love. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about God's love flowing through us. If you remember Sister Jane, situations there, I know when God spoke to me to go clean Ollie Bell's house, I mean, she was a very, very clean person. and very talented and everything else, but she'd had those children and she was very sick herself. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go clean her house. And so I got my cleaning stuff and I went up there and I asked her if I could help. And it was a disaster at that point. And when I would get my stuff out to wipe, like off a counter, it was supernatural. Now, whatever, but I mean, it was supernatural. It was like an angel was just working with me. I mean, it was no time at all till that. And the little girl, the children, they would follow me around, get around me, and they'd say, "Why you do this? Why you do this?" And I didn't know what to say. You know, I didn't know what to say. So I just kept working, and I'd tell them, you know, we'd pat them or something. And Olivia looked so sick. She was really, really sick. And anyway, when it got all clean, everything, I mean spotlessly clean, she, the children, again, they were so happy. And they said, why you do this? And I said, because I love you, and I love your mom too. But it wasn't just Sister Lively mouthing off. It flowed like a current of love. It filled that trailer. It was really, really amazing. And she never was like that again. You know, she wrote songs. She just had a beautiful, beautiful voice, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. And her children, one long to one of them was playing the organ in an apostolic church. And you know, God knows, and the time she brought, I had been studying that day about a soldier that had passed, his buddy got hit, and he had to go on because it was active battle. And but he quoted that scripture, "I passed by thee, saw thee polluted in thy own blood, and I said unto you, live, and you lived." Now, then he had to go on, but the boy, the blood, we found out later, completely stopped. And then a direct hit, it completely stopped. He was fine. And so when Olivia brought her little baby in, blood everywhere, she was hysterical, the baby screaming. And I just turned and I quoted that scripture, the blood stopped. And I mean, this is we're connected to the creator of the world. He's the one that walked and lepers were healed and blinded eyes were opened. And when he went to the cross, he went there because he loved us and knew he came out of that grave. He overcame death. He overcame hell and the grave. And when we begin to share that with other people, they're going to know it because God is going to make them know it. And it's going to lift them up out of the valley and the pit, and it's going to minister to them. I have it happen to me on the street. I mean, it is amazing. A lady today wanted to sell me something, and on the phone, and I, before it was over with, she said, she was just all beside herself. She said, "I was so broken today. I was so down. I didn't," you know, she was just telling me, I don't know her exact words, but she said, "And then God led me to you so you could," you know, I was just telling her my everyday happenings pretty much. And not that I'm always, you know, the top of the line, but when you share truth and you become a vessel that God can shine through, well, you did it when you bought pizza for somebody that was being as mean to you as they possibly could be. And that pizza, it wasn't the pizza. It was love. I mean, love, it's powerful. And you know, we've got it all the way through the Word of God, and you know, that's why when he says, turn the other cheek, somebody slaps you on one side, turn the other. And you think, really? You know, just before I'll turn the other, just before I, you know, whatever. But God is not trying to tell us to be necessarily a martyr. He's saying, you want to win? You want to overcome what the devil's throwing at you? Just turn the other cheek. And for eternity, that dude is going to he's going to be in hell, and you're going to be with me in heaven. You know, I mean, you know, I probably messed that up a little bit. But my point is for us to really let God reveal to us that we're like, with the five wise and the five foolish. We did this in your name. We did that in your name. He said, I never knew you. And I mean, there's many places in the Bible where it says new. To know someone is to be intimate. Like a man would, he didn't know his wife. In other words, he had yet not consummated the marriage. I'm not talking about sensual or sexual, as you know, but I'm talking about an intimacy where God enters us and he dwells here. And I am so thankful for it. It fills every pain and lifts it up. One of the things I didn't mention was your dad was, you know, driving the cab, and he drove number one. And this one particular night, he came home. I don't remember the details about it, but the driver of the cab that took his place was shot and killed. And it could have been just total coincidence about everything, but at the same time, we don't know, you know. And Jim felt like it was just a real warning to him not to drive a cab anymore. There had been other things that had happened. And so he was spared. So I don't know if I went around the world with what you were saying, but sharing with people, taking care of them, taking them food, cleaning their house, whatever God puts in your path to do, do it. And then God does the part that we can't do. So you want to say something?
That was so good. I was just sitting there just basking in it because that covered one side of the point really well, what I was talking about. But like, to be more specific, like in your situation, when y'all were in Arkansas and all of a sudden dad was notified that the company he worked for had been bought out by another company, and you know, they were going to downsize the operation there where we lived for all of our life, and he had to go somewhere else. And so how much of that do you just put onto your own understanding and just go and push on doors and ask God to open doors and close doors? And or how much do you try to get an answer before you do anything? You know, how do you advise people to face and those sort of things right then? You know, and you're like, well, just trust God. Well, it's real easy to say.
Well, here's usually the two things that people will say if they're right in crisis. And then when they look back on it, especially, if only, what if? What if, you know, and so that in the midst of that, it's like the best I can describe it, it's a tornado. But in every tornado, there is an area that is like the center of the tornado, I don't know what they call it, and it is absolutely calm. So you can't, when we're working with people, in recovery, the jails, whatever, we can't do the well, what if, and the you know, we can't go to there because that's tornado. If anything, the thing is a spiritual battle, and we can pray, and we can hold what we can't do, God will do. I mean, that little girl in that prison the other day, the jail. She said, I never felt love, ever. But she felt it. Well, it wasn't us. I mean, it was God moving through us. And it was just, he'll move. He'll do it. I mean, he'll let us be that's what a vessel is. You know, a vessel of honor. We're just the vessel that God moves through. So it really is our faith. And it's our being build ourselves and not being, you know, in the middle of our own turmoil so that we're not available for the Lord to really use us. But scripture in every situation is different. You know, every person, everything they're going through, it's just different. And we have to sometimes just give people time because, like I mentioned, in unsolicited advice, is not accepted. We don't know all the circumstances. I'm dealing with a young woman now that her husband passed away, and she's just having so many heartaches with it that I've offered to teach her piano. And I don't play that well, as you know, but it's going to be fun for her, and it's going to get her away from, focus her in another direction, and prayer. The Bible says that we're the salt of the earth. We're the light. And light is just that. In the midst of darkness, you turn a light on. It don't have to be a very big light. So I don't mean that like I'm saying that we're but we are what God died to make us. And I love that. I love being used to the Lord. It's just so much. There are so many ways, and it's not really being, I don't know. I think people, like, for instance, if anybody has time, they could read the five love languages. And there's one, the five love languages of God. I would highly recommend that because I'm going to give you one example. I do not like to be touched. It is, all Asperger, whatever. I know I'm delivered, healed, and all that, set free. But I don't like to be touched. Well, most of the writings say if you're around an elderly person, be sure and touch them. They need to be touched. So what happens? Everywhere I go, people are touching me. Oh, and, I would like to say, would you please quit touching me? I do not like that. But now that would not be your thing to do either, right? But I will tell everybody, my love language is gifts. I like to give a lot of gifts. So if you really love me, buy me something. How about that? That was supposed to be funny.
You just volunteer out there and you meet somebody. Hey, I just want you to know my love language is gifts.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you. I went to the bank today because I got a $9,000 check in the mail, which was spam. I'd already been to the lawyer. And would you like to get a $9,000 check in the mail?
Yeah, we got something like that was some kind of junk stuff, too. So.
They were all, everybody at the bank, this lady came in. She said, oh, I've got one of your CDs. It's so sweet. Makes me so happy. So, so happy. So did I even touch on that Wild Bill about people hurting and whatever?
I think that you did, broad picture. I think that, I got a situation, I got a friend of mine that's in a situation that's totally different, but we were talking today, we should pray for things in faith, but we should pray for things in authority. And then, but there's situations to where you don't know what to pray in authority. His situation is he's possibly going to lose his house because of something happened where the bank had added some paperwork to his house that he didn't know was there. So, now he's at this point of trying to figure out, what to do. Should he sell? Should he try to work this out? There's all the things there that he still don't even know the knowns of it yet. And so, like with me, my job is talking about a major change of operations where they're talking about doing away with what I do completely for this terminal. And, automatically my first thought is, well, I'm a truck driver. I can work anywhere. But then I get to looking, and, situations are not, it's not fixable for me to be able to fix on my own. But I try to figure out what to pray in authority. Lord, you change their minds. Keep my job here. Lord, you speak of things that aren't as though they are in prayer when you pray things in faith. Yet there are times you don't know what to speak. Sometimes you can pray in the Spirit, and it prays for you. And then there's times where it feels like your prayers are getting 2 inches off the ground. And I know that I'm not the only person that's been in those situations where they're facing something and they want to find God's will in it. But I wonder sometimes God's saying, well, stand on my word, stand on it, stand up and claim what you want. And, but there again, it's not a name it and claim it sort of thing. And so that whole thing, which that's always been a battle in my mind anyway, when you look through the Bible and you see things where you know, people were healed, and then you go through and you see a situation where people are not healed, and you're like, okay, you know, am I the lost cause? Am I the one that's the unicorn of the whole thing? I don't fit into any category, you know. And so I meet people like that all the time while I'm out working, and I try to figure out how to speak peace to their situation, you know, not just for mine, but for them. And usually I offer to pray with them over it right then. But there again, you can't just say, Lord, we command these bosses, Lord, if you change their minds to change their situation to where they're going to be able to continue, you know, working for their family's, you know, income. And, you know, I'm probably just going all the way around the barn not saying nothing. But it's just because there's so many. It's like you can't preach both sides of the sermon. You can't preach faith, and then you can't turn around and preach people about caution and waiting and understanding that sometimes the answer is no. It's hard to get the two together without tearing down what you just said. And so when you're trying to live it.
Oh, go ahead.
No, that was it. I just said you try to live it. Where does the rubber meet the road?
Well, that's what you just said was sort of a summation of what I was bringing out in this entire chapter. You can't decide, you know, someone's sick and they want you to pray. What do they want you to pray for? That they'll be healed, naturally. And, you know, and so we pray and we claim the scriptures that by his stripes that they will be healed at the same point in time. Pray for peace. Pray, Lord, you know, give us peace during this time. Give us trust so that we can, whichever way, because some people die, you know, they die all around us. And so to me, that's the insight part. We want to go for right into foresight. It's God's plan to heal them. Let it be done right now. Well, that I see that and I hear that. But insight is, Lord, thy will be done. Lord, you know exactly, like with the widow in the Old Testament with, I think it was the Elijah, you know, she didn't have anything. And he said, well, whatever you got, bring it to me. You got a little bit of oil, you know, make me something. You got a little bit of meal, make me something. And, you know, and then her son dies, and then he's got it, you know, well, you know, but God heals him. But it's a process, and we have to have insight that, Lord, you're in control. And the main thing is for me to trust you and to not let the doubt and the fears overcome me, to distract me from, you know, because, see, Satan, the emotional part of Satan's work is to make us unhappy and to make us feel like we've lost the battle and that, you know, we're less than, we're always less than, you know. No, though God slay me, yet I trust him. I shall then come forth as gold. All of this is going to work together for my good. I don't know how, and I don't know why, but I've got his word. God will give me a peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand it. Wow, that peace. You know, see what I mean? You keep interweaving into the flow of God so that he's really not somewhere off. You're trying, you know, sometimes I think we try to twist his arm. Show up, God. No, he was there first. Anyway, it's a good question, and I pray that we gave some insight. And if anybody has, I think everybody, did anybody get a chance to speak up tonight? I don't think they were on the air.
Starley didn't say that, so I guess if I raised her hand. Yeah, I really appreciate what you added to this because I feel like the whole go ahead, Starley.
Oh, I was just saying we didn't have anybody raise their hand.
Yeah, I feel like the whole testimony of this section of the book is, you know, you look at it and you see, you know, where God came and moved in situations where, it boggles the mind, And sometimes we forget just how good God has been to us through that process. But you had to go through all that to become the person of who you are now. There is no shortcuts in that process. So, as I said before, I really appreciate, you know, you sharing those things, because it's so easy to want to talk about the highlights. Man, we went into the prison and, you know, we was praying for people and 15 people got the Holy Ghost, and people that their hearts had been hardened, all of a sudden their hearts were soft, and, you know, God made it pliable and moldable, and, you know, those things are great, but there's things that happen before you get there. And so I appreciate you sharing those with us on the show tonight.
I appreciate you being so forgiving.
I don't know. I just, I don't know if it's my personality or what, but the way I look at all these things, it was, I don't see anything that needs forgiving. So,
well, your mother got you out
came.
Of the prison.
I wasn't real happy when you used to make me go in the women's restroom when I was little, because you afraid somebody would run off with me.
Yeah.
When we go like to the bus station or train station or something.
Well, I got you.
And you weren't real happy to found it. That's right. Man. People would have to see how high I was in that tree to comprehend how high you were to come up there after me.
You saw the angel. It was an angel carrying me up there. I could not have done that. That was for sure the Lord. I'm so glad you didn't fall. Many children have fallen like that and broke their neck, never walked again. You know, this could have killed you, this really.
Yeah, I've had a lot of things in my life that I look back and think, wow, you know, even when I was not really living for God, I can remember I had that car with the big wide tires on the back. It was jacked up in the back, and I can remember going around the curve, going from where the outer loop was in outside of Nashville, where it swung onto 24 going towards Antioch, and it was raining really, really hard, and I just felt like this twinge and just went into my mind, says, you need to slow down. And I slowed down, and there was a flatbed Crocker trailer truck that had jacked like 20 feet in front of where I was, and a motorcycle had ran up underneath it, and the driver had been decapitated. And I was sitting there, you know, I was able to come to a stop where that car was the world's worst about hydroplaning and sliding. And I will never forget, I took Brother Shield to go get him one of his new cars up at Jasper Creek, Tennessee. And on the way up there, we were getting off an exit onto the interstate, and the car made a complete loop. And I never let off the gas. And gas, you know, I just spun into it and straightened it up and kept on going. I think he prayed through about three times right then. So.
Aw. That's funny.
But it's amazing also how, like I said, you know, my aspects of everything was I saw how life was attacking, and I saw how you guys were dealing with it to the best that you could. Yeah, there was, you know, problems with alcohol in there, prescription medications, and but nowhere in that whole process did I not feel loved. And nowhere in there did I ever feel that if anything was going to come for me, it had to come for you guys first. And there's a certain assurance and peace in that, even in the storm. And I
right.
don't know how to put it into words, but it, you know, I know so many kids don't have that are in storms, and, you know, they're damaged. And the other thing to what you were saying about when God moved in and heals people, he also made, they said he made them whole. And so that thing you were talking about, pray for the peace, you know, we're all going to die sometime. And I won't ever forget Dad saying that on his deathbed. I'm like, really, you got to say that right now? And he's like, well, I get to know ahead of you guys what's next, you know? And I'm like, well, they don't want to hear that right now. But, you know, in different aspects of life, we all have to face different things at different times. I still can't believe, you know, you brought it up with my employer, you know, the things he was doing that, you know, cost me a bunch of money and hurt me. And yet, to look back at it, I had no thought of animosity towards him at the point that I did that at all. Now, I can't say that it was always that way. I had to go through process of where that I, you know, used to dream about unscrewing that man's head to see if there was anything inside. And, you know, in my thought process, I was thinking, you know, God, you could just let him fall over dead with a heart attack or something. Surely somebody else in here would have more mercy towards me than what this guy is. You know, so you go through those things. But yet, on that day when that happens, it was just, I don't know how to describe it. It was just a task that was set before me, and I said yes. It wasn't, it's like it wasn't even my idea, but once it came to my heart, it was like, hey, that's a good idea. And then I saw firsthand where the Bible talks about heaping coals of fire on someone's head. And that wasn't my intention, but looking back at it, I saw how that happened. And it's humorous now. My intention was to show that, you know, I didn't have any animosity towards him, that we both knew what he had done. I wasn't retarded, y'all, with it. You know, blind to the things that happened. I hadn't forgot all of a sudden. You know, I hadn't had a, you know, something happened, had a stroke, and just didn't know. And so he knew that I knew. And yet, I don't know, it was an amazing thing. And I've had things like that, to looking back, like you're talking about, where, you know, they change my wages when we're doing underground cable, and then jobs we get that day are the things that pay the most money. And you're like, wow, you know, God can do that. The same thing with the ring sheep and the goats and things like that. You know, we read about those things and know that God can turn those things for our good. And I don't have a doubt that you guys were supposed to end up in Nashville, but I can't imagine the storm of what happened in that process for you guys. You know, it seemed like there was almost an excitement other than the fact y'all were moving off and leaving me. I was a senior in high school, a Christian school, and I didn't want to leave, and, you know, that year was half over. And so that part of it was there, but I don't know. Maybe why y'all were so excited. Hey, we got rid of him.
No, that don't say that. Nope, don't say that at all.
Me and Charlie used to laugh. You get people to move where you're at, then you move away. I'm like, it seems like we get the hint after a while.
Well, there's purposes. God's got his, he's got the route. We've just got to be willing to do it and not question it. I think that's where I've gotten in some of my most difficulty sometimes. It's just, and it was so beautiful because just Kaiser, Reverend Kaiser and I had been in several ministries, evangelizing, missionary to the Arctic, pastoral, and then my sickness and her sickness, her death, I wasn't available. There was no timing that worked, and the Lord dealt with me. We had all nations service Sunday, and the Lord dealt with me, and we put together two big posters of her work in the Arctic, and, you know, out in the, it was just beautiful, and people signed, had a book, people signed beautiful remarks about memories of her, and I'm going to send it to her family.
Yeah, there again, that was processed. There was a lot of storms in there, but then God did great things to you guys working together, that if someone hadn't
right.
said yes, you know, we can't always understand it, you know, looking ahead, and we can't always, and only, I don't, my situation, I don't care either way. You know, whichever's going to happen is going to happen. I just, I feel like it's more of a pressure on, you know, Starla than it is me at this time. You know, I've got so many limitations on things as far as what I can actually do. We were making fun at therapy the other day. There's this chair you sit on, it wobbles. You're supposed to be doing a motion on it. She's like, what are you doing? And I ain't got a clue. My body's so stiff and messed up, I don't know what's moving what. I just adapt and do the best I can to make it happen. But it's so funny. But I wonder how many times God looks at us and like, what do you call that? What
yeah.
are you doing?
Amen. That's a real good point. Are we still on the air?
I guess. You're still talking. Sure. She's still in there.
Huh.
Well, anyway, I said all I had to say on there. I didn't, mean to keep this longer than what it was, but did you get to go through all the way through the chapter?
Yeah. I added a few things, just insights, but I enjoyed it. I really has ministered to me today, this very day. A lot of memories.
I got tickled. You didn't bother telling everybody when we was at the movie theater, though, that every time it came up on something really scary or something really bad, you made me and Rhonda turn around and look back at the other movie screen behind us.
I know that was one of the most effective way that God could have ever reached me. Because, I mean, it just separated it into either heaven or hell, the devil or God. I mean, that's exactly what it did for me personally. And I knew that I was not going to serve him. I was going to serve God. I stayed in the
car.
That's
good. Well, I was just going to say that I have added all that I have for the show tonight. So whatever you're going to start out next, I'll leave it with you guys.
Thank you so much. And I'm through also.
Well, that was very good. I so enjoyed, I'm enjoying your book. I really am, and I'm enjoying you reading it. You get things when the author, reads it, because you might perceive it a different way, but it makes it so clear. Anyway, I so appreciate it, and I know it's an effort for you to have to read it, but I am enjoying it.
Well, actually, I wasn't. I love you all so much. It's like great fellowship. But thank you, and I'm not going to keep talking. And look forward to next week.
Oh, we want to thank all of our listeners for being with us each week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.